Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The Milwaukee Art Museum is currently presenting this wonderful exhibit. If you like photography, you need to see this. It's Postcards from America, Milwaukee. It's the first museum exhibition of photographs from the Postcards from America project, initiated by a group of photographers to foster artistic and intellectual collaboration. The exhibit runs through the 19th of October. The group of artists are participating in this organization that started really in 1947, an international photo cooperative, and they share an interest in going out into the world to make pictures. Some of them really are making documentary pictures, as is one of the artists that we'll be speaking with this hour. We have two guests with us, one of the artists who was plopped down in Milwaukee and did some very interesting photos of women at work. And also, we're speaking with the curator of photography at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Lisa Sutcliffe is joining us in our studios in Milwaukee. She's been here, she came to the museum at the beginning of 2013, so a year and a half or so, from the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art. She was the curatorial fellow at the De Cordova Museum and Sculpture Park in Lincoln, Massachusetts. She has an MA in the history of art from Boston University, where she specialized in the history of photography, and she has her bachelor's in art history from Wellesley. And she's from Maine. Her mom is a painter. And she has some interesting things to say. She said, how do you know this about me? Because I looked at a few articles and has some very interesting things to say about why she has chosen photography as her special interest. Lisa, thank you very much. The exhibit is so good. It made me think a lot of people love photography, and I do too, and all that it can be. And it's great to know that the museum is really expanding the role of photography at the museum, isn't it?
It is. It's a really exciting time for photography in Milwaukee, especially because starting next year, we're going to be unveiling the new Hertzfeld Center for Photography and Media. So, you know, photography is a very relatable medium. It's something that is sort of anyone can take a picture, so anyone can really understand photography. So it's something I'm really looking forward to broadening.
Mm-hmm. Anyone can take a picture, but you can't take a picture like what's in these postcards from America. They are pretty remarkable. Mm-hmm. And the breadth of all that's there is pretty interesting, isn't it? What people chose to focus on when they were here?
Well, that's one of the things that's been so exciting for me because, you know, it's the idea that anyone can be in a place, but no one can see exactly what someone else sees. So this exhibition gives you the opportunity to see 11 different perspectives, viewpoints of what they found when they came to Milwaukee. And it's especially interesting to see how it connects back to their interests throughout their histories as photographers.
Mm-hmm. One of the photographers is Susan Micellus, and she's very, very well known. She's considered one of the foremost documentary style photographers of her generation. She studied at Sarah Lawrence and her master's in visual education from Harvard. Her first photographic essay focused on the lives of women doing striptease at New England County Fairs, and a selection from Carnival Strippers was installed at the Whitney Museum of Art. She joined Magnum Photos in 1976. She has covered the insurrection in Nicaragua, documented human rights issues in Latin America, served as editor and contributor to El Salvador, the work of 30 photographers. She has co-directed two films, Living at Risk, the story of a Nicaraguan family, and Pictures from Revolution. In 97, she completed a six-year project curating a 100-year photographic history of Kurdistan. She's had one-woman exhibitions in Paris, Madrid, Amsterdam, London, Los Angeles, Chicago and New York, and has won many awards. In 1992, was named a MacArthur Fellow. And her photos are very interesting. They're women at work, and we will talk about those with Susan. And this whole cooperative that she's been a member of, too, which is really interesting. Susan, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, glad to contribute.
Yeah, you've really done some remarkable work. So what's the story here? You know all these photographers, you're working with a cooperative, and you come up with where you're going to go, and you thought maybe you ought to pay more attention to America, so you came to Milwaukee? Is that the short story?
That's kind of a wild way to think about it. It is sort of the Wild West to some of us who live in New York. No, I'm kidding. I, you know, this idea grew from the fact that Magnum is nearly 70 years old.
Ooh.
It's a growing community of multi-generations, probably five. It's begun in 47 by Kappa, Robert Kappa, and Henri Cartier-Bresson. So we are many we're many generations since 1947. And the one thing we do is get together once a year for several days to sort of review what's happened in the year and what we're hoping for to move forward towards. And in that conversation, we all were feeling, you know, dispersed globally and wishing we could work more with each other or off each other or kind of like a band riff. It's not, it's sort of the different styles, the different approaches to really have that opportunity to collaborate, not knowing really what it would mean. And the first trip is was really a classic road trip in which we got an RV and we used it as a base camp and traveled from Texas to California. There were five of us on that trip. And it was 2 weeks, and we did a pop-up gallery in an old saloon in Oakland, which is actually where I think we probably met Lisa, who was based at the SF MoMA at the time. And we were really experimenting with what it meant both to Tumblr, which now everyone does, and Instagram, et cetera. But at that time, we didn't really know what it meant to travel, shoot, upload images and see if it, like breadcrumbs, there'd be a trail of people following us. You know, this is kind of what we invented on that first initiative.
Hmm.
And then it led to the pop-up, which was very exciting because we really had one day. We went to digital output in Jim Goldberg's studio and made big pictures and littler, smaller pictures, and then went to the local, I think it was a pharmacy, and made 4x6 pictures and had 800 small little 4x6 postcards on a table and invited everybody to come in and just see where we were and what we'd been doing. And it was very alive, dynamic, you know, experimental for us. We included images that other people had contributed along the road who were not with us but who had photographed in those places, and we also displayed their work. And in that spirit, launched this project called Postcards from America, which is now a few years. We then went on We went on to Rochester, where we were based. I think there were 10 of us based for 2 weeks. And in between some smaller projects, one in Florida, one in getting through Nevada, and now Milwaukee. And I think Lisa had a vision for really experimenting with us as to what would it mean to bring, over a period of time, three different groups of photographers to work there.
Yeah, and they're extraordinary photographers. Did you guide them at all? I mean, this is quite a task to have these real hotshot photographers from all over the world come to this city and put on display a record that is a historical record of what they think about this city at this point in time. So didn't you feel that you had to say, oh, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to see this, you've got to see that? Or did you just say, wander around and what you come up with, you come up with?
Excellent question. You know, you can try and guide people, but, you know, inevitably they're going to look for and find what they're interested in. They're going to discover something when they come here. So in the beginning, I was sending out all of this information about Milwaukee. You might be interested in this. By the way, I saw this. And sometimes there would be interest, but often not. But what did happen was that with each photographer, we would get in touch ahead of time. There would be quite a bit of research. We had spreadsheets going, you know, setting up appointments. So although many of them were only here for about 2 weeks on the ground, we did months and months of preparation, figuring out, you know, who they would like to photograph or where. Do we need to get permission for it? What kind of things might they like to see when they were here? And just making sure all of those logistics were in place. So for me, you know, being new to Milwaukee, it was really a great way to get to know
the city. Oh, I imagine. Must have been great for you. And Susan, did you know what you wanted to see?
Well, no, I actually think the great thing is going someplace not knowing, even with all that research, is what it feels like when you get there.
Right.
What inspires you. And I think one thing Lisa didn't say, but it's an unusual role for a museum to be producing versus just curating what exists. So she took a lot of risk, you know. Who knew whether or not we'd been inspired to kind of connect in a particular way and bring whatever experience we had to a new environment. I mean, I think that's the makes that exceptional. And it was challenging because we were we might be known in a photographic world in some cases, but not necessarily the world in which Milwaukee lives.
Right.
And I think for me, I wanted to both, I have frameworks of experience that I bring, but I really did something I wouldn't have predicted would have held me, and it still does. I'm even thinking still about some of that work and how much deeper it could go. It's very challenging to work on relatively short timelines and be satisfied fully. I don't know. I think the challenge for Lisa must have been to think about what each of the 11 were contributing and how they complemented or were juxtaposed to give a kind of mosaic view of these different ways of thinking and imaging.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you follow our last hour, Susan, which, of course, you didn't hear because you were in New York, but we were doing a show on the minimum wage and how difficult it is for so many people to make a living and historically where we've been. And as I was looking at your photos of women who are factory workers who have written about what it is they do, along with a picture of what they do. And I was thinking that what you ought to do is, these are minimum wage workers. Wouldn't that be an interesting book right now? But that there, you had this incredibly important statement about the dignity of their work and how important their work and doing it right is and how productive they are. It was all there. We spent an hour talking about it, but it was all there for you in a picture.
Yeah. Actually, it was very moving to me. Mm. I mean, both with a sadness, because I know it's such a big fight still in America to honor and to dignify the work that is, you know, people depend on in multitude of ways, and be fair of what its value is. I was also fascinated in Milwaukee, and Lisa knows this. I came back saying there are all these huge boxes. What do people do inside them? Because if you go out of the core downtown zone, there's zones and zones of them, and that's what led to who's inside and who's doing what and what do they make. And that was the mystery. It was like a mystery tour. Every time I'd come back to Lisa and say, does anybody know anybody at X or Y? And because I would just love to get an entry in a walking tour, and people were relatively open to letting that happen. I mean, very often they were short. They were 30 minutes walk through on a floor, and it's a 10,000 square foot floor. You see a moment. You see the kind of assembly work people are doing, which is different than what people did industrially, you know, 50 years ago in that same town, you know, your town or other such towns in America.
So was it difficult to accomplish that? How did you pave the way for photographers who needed access to get the access?
Well, that's actually what's nice about working in a museum and having Magnum Photos on board, because these are very well-known artists. These are artists who have won MacArthur grants, who have very long careers. And so we would write a letter explaining what the artist was looking to do, what the project is, that there would be an exhibition. And we also had people within the community reach out to people they knew, so that it wasn't coming necessarily just as a cold call, but from someone who might know someone there. But, you know, I think for the most part, people were really excited to be involved. This was a project I was most excited about because of the way that it does involve the community, so that it creates this sense of investment, so that we're all a part of what's actually happening as it's happening, that there's a transparent process to it, which is, I think, an interesting model for a museum.
And you should probably give us an idea of the breadth of this. It's not a huge exhibit, but all that's in it make it a very large exhibit in terms of what they're looking at in the city.
Yeah, so there's about 150 photographs and two video installations. There's 11 artists, each of whom picked up on a thread, either, you know, portraits of people at the state fair or the way that the highway infrastructure is built throughout the city. Also the cultural artifacts of Wisconsin, drawing on the documentary American Movie by Chris Smith, and the book Wisconsin Death Trip by Michael Lezzi from 1973, which draws on an archive of photographs from Black River Falls, Wisconsin, from the turn of the century. So each of them pulled on these threads, and the exciting part was to think about how it would come together in the end, the conversations that would be interesting within the space. So the photographs are in the contemporary galleries. You can wander in and take in one person's work and then see how it relates to someone else's. Some pictures are very rooted in Wisconsin, whereas others, you know, could have been taken anywhere. So there's that kind of interesting balance as well.
Mm-hmm. And there's one very moving and large memorial to a young rapper, Evan Young, is that mm-hmm. his name, who was killed, and nobody knows exactly who killed them. Can you tell us that story of the photographer who chose that and gave us a memorial?
Mm-hmm. So that work was made by Zoe Strauss. She's a photographer from Philadelphia originally, and she does quite a bit of work around activism and around taking work, taking photographs outside of the space of a museum. So she's done a series in Philadelphia called Under I-95, and she would work in the communities and then put the pictures up underneath the highway so that people could come and see them.
Oh, my.
She also did billboards, and she's always been very rooted in the beauty of the everyday. So she heard about the story of Evan Young, who's also known as Young LT, and she wanted to work with the family in a way to create a memorial because it was a story she thought might sort of slip under the radar, especially for museum audiences. So she came to Milwaukee and she met with the family, and she ended up making photographs of these sort of relics, talismans from his life. She made photographs in the family home. She borrowed photographs from them. And she also created this grid of photographs from different sky blues around Milwaukee that just say Evan Young as a kind of way of creating a breathing space for the family. Mm. But it's very moving.
It is very moving. Very moving. And Susan, tell me more. You've just been all over the world. A good chunk of your work has been in Nicaragua, in Latin America, in Kurdistan. Was this an unusual focus for you and have its own set of challenges being in an urban American city because most of your work is elsewhere, or have you done a lot of work in the States?
Well, in a way, the whole postcards project, I think, if particularly for me, has been important to ground me and bring me back to America, where I feel like I had no idea what the northern cities and northwestern and the Rust Belt, however we want to define it. I was pretty astounded, you know, working in Rochester, where Kodak had just gone bankrupt. Part of the work in Milwaukee evolved out of the work I did in Rochester, which was focused on the Hickey Freeman plant, which is the last manufacturing factory of a very renowned brand that's over 100 years old, in which the people who work in that factory are not the women that I found in Milwaukee, but in fact immigrants from a multitude, I think over 35 countries, coming from all over the world, mm-hmm. to work there and make high-end men's suits. So that factory became the locale of really the work I did in Rochester. And when I came to Milwaukee, people kept talking about its history of industrialization, how important it was, building off of Chicago and to some degree Detroit. So there was a lot to learn. And again, these boxes I referenced, you know, living in New York, you don't see anybody with that kind of space. You know, I mean, maybe there's a Costco out on the periphery of the suburbs or in New Jersey, but you don't see production in this way. And that, you know, there's sweatshops and small factories and lofts that have been taken over by artists and not far from my own home. So I was really fascinated by factory life and started to explore other dimensions of it, which, as you point out, the minimum wage workers is another way of thinking about it. Mm-hmm. But I was also, and some of my installation is on the objects, which are not complete objects, but they're partial, but very essential to production that occurs and become part of chains of distribution. And I was fascinated that sometimes people knew what part they were making and what
yes.
it had to do with the larger whole, and very often they didn't. So on one level, I was photographing in a factory that made zip ties, 750,000 of them a day,
ooh.
Which is an astounding number.
Yes, it is.
And on the other hand, I was photographing objects that were in the middle of, you know, industrial spaces that were completely unidentifiable to me. I didn't know what they were, what function they had. So that was part of the mystery tour I referred to.
Mm. And then you have some of the people you photographed talking about their work, and this is the one from Critical Eye. This woman says, who's been doing Factory work for a long time. She definitely knew what she was doing. But she said, I thought this was so moving. This is one of my favorite jobs because maneuvering the part on the table is almost therapeutic to me. And you think about all the time she does that all day long, and you're happy to know that it's therapeutic to her and that for her, it's one of the best jobs she ever had. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And I think work is, you know, to have work in America
yeah.
with all of what we know, how difficult it is, and there's a lot of stress involved in being able to sustain families, especially with this issue of minimum wage, which is so disparate across the nation. I mean, we can't all do what they do, and I do have a lot of respect for someone who's got that capacity to continue to focus 8 hours a day on a very, you know, specific task. You know, I'm a multitasker myself. the intensity and the silence in some cases or the noise in
mm-hmm.
others.
Mm-hmm.
These environments are very can be very chaotic because there's a lot going on. There are a lot, you know, at Harley Davidson, it's unbelievably impressive what robots do now in relation to what the humans do. You know. So that machine-man relation, man/woman, finding the women doing very specific tasks that don't involve, you know, being supported by machines that deal with the weight involved and moving motors and things like that.
Mm.
Just fascinating how
yeah,
much women have also integrated into the workforce now.
Yeah. You know, speaking of, I think I read somewhere today that is it for the Brewers game tonight that a robot is throwing out the first pitch? Isn't that weird?
Wow.
I mean, maybe they should play ball for the Brewers
wow.
these days, too. Just put some robots on the field and change the losing streak. I thought that was kind of weird in a way. I think I'd rather see a human being throwing the first pitch.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to welcome phone calls. And I have some just mundane questions, too, which I will ask both of you. We had our pictures taken here last week I hate to have my picture taken, but so many people do. It's an art if you're doing human beings, and some of these that are on display are right in their
mm-hmm.
face. Either that or they were far away and they had a great lens. But how you get people to be who they are in all their eccentricity is really an art. So we'll talk to both of you about that. And I'm sure that some of you have seen the exhibit. At least I hope you have, because I'm very interested in your response to it. If not, go to the Art Museum. It's really, really worth seeing. It's Postcards from America, Milwaukee. It's the latest exhibit at the Milwaukee Art Museum. 11 different artists, and they're from all over the world, who are displaying their photographic vision of Milwaukee. And it is a real mosaic, partially because they're from different parts of the world and it's through their eyes, partially because of the way that it was more than curated by Lisa. Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and KP reminds me we have some of the photos on our Facebook page right now, so go see them. Go see them on our page, but then go to the museum and see them as well. To you, in a moment, this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our phone number, if you'd like to join us, we'd like to hear from you, 800-486-8655. We're talking about Postcards from America, Milwaukee, which is on display at the Milwaukee Art Museum through mid-October. And our guests are curator Lisa Sutcliffe and Susan Micellis, who is a very accomplished photographer who's been working with Magnum Photos since 1976, and she's done a lot of books and one-woman shows all over the world. So we certainly welcome your phone calls. You know, even if you haven't seen the exhibit, if you want to talk about photography and photography, how you see and would photograph Milwaukee, that would be just dandy. So to both of you, let's talk about this, because what you're doing is also capturing history. And Lisa, I'm wondering, you worked with all these photographers and you take pictures as well. How do you get an authenticity to a situation, particularly with a human being in it, when you feel like you're not yourself when you're having your picture taken, and you've got to get that, who the human being is. So how do you do that?
Well, I think it's a skill, really. I mean, I think there are people who like taking portraits because they're able to put people at ease in some way, or they know how to wait for the particular moment. When Alessandra Sanguinetti was here, she told us the story of this one portrait in the show of a young girl who looks quite haunted wearing a white dress. And she said that, you know, the girl was running and playing the entire time. And she waited until the very end when she sat down and actually was tired out to make the photograph because she was able to get her in a more sort of quiet state at that time. And I think, you know, some of the other photographers, Bruce Gilden, Martin Parr, you know, they either want to be unobserved or they have someone there to talk to the people, to relax them
while
they're making their picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, but each person definitely has a different way of working, and you know, and I'm sure Susan would have a different perspective as well.
Yeah, how do you get people to relax, Susan?
Well, no, I think that's interesting what Lisa's saying because you know, Bruce would be considered in your face very often, you know, very very much looking very direct and eye to eye with the subject. Martin, you might see more than a face, a whole body and the language of the body. And I tend not to be a portraitist, so the images there are really trying to capture the work and the life and the mood and the, if there's emotion or neutered emotion, meaning because it's concentration. I didn't want to distract people to say, look at me and smile, which is what happens at every cocktail party you are. It annoys me. To me, frankly, it's much more the dynamic between people that's interesting, really, as to whether or not they're engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, the workers were really engaged in what they were doing, and that's so I didn't want to interrupt that process. So capturing is observing, and sometimes, obviously, portraits can be more directed than that. That tends not to be the way I work.
Mm-hmm. So for all of these photographers, tell us what exactly happened, Lisa. They were here for a couple-week period of time, or Susan came back a couple times,
she
didn't
she? She did. She was the lucky one. We had three different groups come between August of 2013 and April of 2014. So there were three in August, three in the dead of winter during the polar vortex in January. And one of them had to borrow a number of down coats at that time. And then we had six in April. And for each group, we had an artist panel at the museum so that the public could come and learn about the project and hear the artists talk about their work or talk about what they were doing here, so that people could sort of follow the project as it developed over the course of a year.
Mm-hmm. Had you ever been here before, Susan?
I had been once to give a talk at the museum in a I don't remember how long ago, probably 10 years ago.
Oh.
In relation to a show that they had about Dorothea Lange.
Oh, right.
Oh.
It was a very brief visit, and so it was really new. I really wasn't looking around the museum. I was in the museum.
Right. And tell me a little bit about all of the remarkable international work you've done. I would imagine some of it was dangerous work. Your work in Nicaragua, your work doing this lengthy book on Kurdistan. Why did those parts of the world captivate you?
Oh, boy, that's a big question. I don't know if we want to go down that rabbit hole because, of course, right now it's very hard not to be thinking about the Kurds. And the
yes, it sure is. Oh, my gosh, I know.
The horrible events of the last 24 hours.
Right.
And obviously I'm thinking a lot about, you know, what it means to not be there, frankly.
Mm.
I'm sure most people would not want to even think about being there. But
right.
Of course, for me, it's actually, it's hard to read about places that you know are quite well and the turmoil this is causing in the whole region. I was drawn in 91 when you know, there was the flight of 180,000 Kurds over the border from northern Iraq into Turkey, and it caught the world's attention. No one really had known where the Kurds or who the Kurds were,
yes.
And I would have been one of those people too. So I think it sometimes events such as that can bring any of our attention to focus for a moment. I think what's striking about the world we're living in now is there's so much information on one level. Sometimes it's hard to focus. It's overwhelming. We're oversaturated with images. For me, going someplace and digging in, and in the case of Kurdistan, I spent nearly 7 years gathering a history of images, not just my own, but a broader representation of people who had made images in the way that today many people make images, whether or not they have a life in images, you know, and making images. I think that's the maybe the distinction, you know, that everyone's a photographer, but everyone doesn't have a life in photography.
Mm-hmm.
As a centerpiece. I mean, Lisa and I would share different angles or perspectives, but both of our lives are, you know, entwined in photography, you know, the history of the present, ongoing, whether or not you're making or you're curating, or for that matter, you're aggregating now, which so many people do on websites.
Mm-hmm. Which means what, to be aggregating photos?
Well, in other words, very often you're seeing people doing blogs which bring together multiple sourced images, not ones that they themselves make, but they're not really doing it as a curator. They're just literally almost fishing for, you know, a theme. So, you know, you can see this less on Instagram. You see this in other kinds of websites. For example, there was something called Storyline Sandy. And at the time of Sandy, the Sandy Hook, you know, crisis in New York, people could upload their images that they were aggregated into a site. There wasn't a single curator. The machine was actually just...
I see.
They were contributing to a grid of images and a grid of stories.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of examples of that. Cowbird is another one that where you can upload your story to add to other stories that are there. But it's not curated by one person.
Mm-hmm.
It's the receiver is the construct. In this case, it's called Mosaic, is an app that allows you to upload stories from any source. So these are new involvements. I mean, what I was saying about Kurdistan is I was curating, not just shooting myself, but then curating over time many people's contributions to that history.
Mm-hmm. And give me a little bit more of the history of Magnum. I'm just not familiar with it.
1947, Robert Capon, Cartier-Bresson, and George Roger, and soon after, many others, created really what was a cooperative to make sure they could produce work independent of the media, which meant not on assignment, but generate work and then distribute their work. And over these near 70 years, we've continued to do that. So we work with the media and sometimes... work with museums, and the work is in museums, and the work is in magazines, and the work is broad-based, I would say. We have just over 50 members, active members, but who might range between mid-20s to mid-80s, who are active. And then a number of estates, including our founders, almost nearly probably 20 estates, that we distribute the work and continue to think of even those who have passed as being present. I think that's a very important part of the community, that the work lives on and has new environments in which it may be experienced or seen. And it's an active community. I mean, it's not just everyone chooses their own direction. It's not an assigned culture. No one in Magnum is telling you what to do. In the same way that Lisa created opportunity for us, a dialogue with us, but had no idea really what it would evolve to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think Magnum's premise is that the passion of a photographer should be what directs the image making as best it can and for as long as it can, so people sustain different kinds of commitments to work.
Mm-hmm. So you, as a curator, didn't know what all of these incredible photographers were going to give you, what they were going to produce. Doesn't that make putting it all together pretty difficult?
It was challenging, but it was fun. It was exciting. I mean, I had actually been following Postcards from America since its inception.
Oh, you had?
Great. Yeah, and I'm very familiar with all of these artists, so I knew what kinds of pictures they might make. I didn't know exactly what they would be, but I was confident they would be interesting and that we would be happy with the outcome. But, you know, it was really exciting to watch it develop, to think that you'd think someone would make something and they would make something else. You know, to watch Jim Goldberg sitting on top of a U-Haul
yes.
filming the
streets. Oh, tell that story. That's a great great part of the exhibit.
Yeah, so Jim came, and he's one I know quite well from San Francisco, and he wanted to photograph from the top of a U-Haul. So he mounted a video camera to the side and then also sat on top of the U-Haul and made photographs from the top as a way of kind of personalizing the idea of the Google Street View camera, so that when you get reactions from people on the street, you realize that, you know, in Google that doesn't happen because there's no person sitting on top of the car, but what happens if there is? And of course the police pulled him over, and you know, he drove down North Avenue, so you go from the poorer neighborhoods to the more wealthy, and you see how things shift as you move through the city as well. But, you know, getting to see these things develop, especially because the people who came in August, you know, their work was finished then, or, you know, then you would see sort of the ideas building upon each other or maybe changing as people got here and decided that they were interested in something. So, you know, once all the work was made, it was really up until the last minute that we were sort of playing around in the model and seeing how things would fit and having conversations with each other. But, you know, since they all weren't here, we could never really all be in the same room and talk about it, which was one of the things that was sort of something I would have loved to have had happen if we could have.
Oh, I wonder if that could happen now. I guess it'd be too hard. They're all over, right?
Maybe by Skype.
Well, there you go. Yeah. You people are all into this new technology, right? That could happen pretty easily. And what about the idea of... are they called the Best of Milwaukee? All of these photographs of these phenomenally interesting people who write little things about what they're best at, and they're just so different. And we just, I didn't have enough time to see all of them. I'll have to come back. But who did that?
So that's also by Jim Goldberg.
Oh.
So he was quite busy. He wanted to find the Milwaukee's best. And so we put out ads on Craigslist, through Facebook, through word of mouth. And people would write in or call and say that they were the best at something. And so, of course, this is a very subjective term. I mean, what does that really mean?
Right.
So we got all kinds of different people. We had the best fishermen. We had school children who were telling us they were the best at reading. You know, we had people who just would say things like, I am a loner, or I'm the best cook that God ever made. And a great cross-section of Milwaukee's unsung heroes, you know. But these are the pictures that are really rooted in the community, where you do get a sense of these are the people who make up the fabric of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And I love that project. They're very small. They're, you know, 4 by 5 or so. So you have to get close and look at them. And of course, then they were asked by Jim to write on the photographs. So whatever they wrote sort of came from their conversations with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you got those through social media, asking people to write to you. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, we were sort of thinking about Main Street USA and how Facebook and Craigslist is perhaps the new way of reaching people. So we did put ads out through social media, but also, you know, once he photographed someone, he would ask for their recommendations as well.
Mm-hmm. We welcome phone calls. This may be the kind of conversation that is hard to call in on, although you probably have questions about photography, which we can certainly entertain. I hope there's somebody who has seen the exhibit who's listening right now, and you can talk about the breadth of it and how remarkable an exhibit it is. It's Postcards from Milwaukee, America, and it is on display right now through mid-October at the Milwaukee Art Museum. It features internationally known photographers who are part of the Magnum Project, which has been around since 1947. And this is the first museum exhibition of the Postcards from America project. They've done a lot of international work. They thought it was time to focus more on what's going on in the States, and so they have done just that. The artists participate in this, and it's been around since 1947, and they've been here, these artists, visiting the region in three stages from August of last year to April of 2014, and it is remarkable what they have come up with. There's Wisconsin's highway infrastructure, which we have yet to talk about, State Fair, and some of the people who are at State Fair, which is pretty interesting. We've got Susan's work, and Susan is with us this hour, one of the highly acclaimed photographers who has interviewed people at work, mostly factory jobs. And so we're talking about the exhibit this hour of the show and welcoming your phone calls. Some of you might be artists, and you have taken a lot of pictures of Milwaukee. So if you were taking one of the artists around and saying, I really want you to see this or this. This typifies the city, and let's take a photo of it. What would you say? Oh, you don't have to call at all. I just thought it'd be nice for me to offer. Oh, wasn't it? 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. Email talk@wpr.org. We have posted some of the photos on our Facebook page, which is the Kathleen Dunn Show. And KP reminds me that Postcards from America is on a Tumblr site. It's postcardsfromamerica.tumblr.com. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our phone number, 800-486-8655. Our guest this hour, our Milwaukee Art Museum photography curator, who has just started her job within the last year and a half, and she's curator of this exhibit. Lisa Sutcliffe is with us, and Susan Micellas is also here, one of the photographers who has been involved in the Postcards from America Milwaukee project, and she is considered one of the country's best photo documentarians. She's worked all over the world. Let's go to Claudette in Cedarburg. Hi, Claudette.
Hi there. I just was curious as to whether, while you were here photographing, you made any attempts to gather and meet with many wonderful professional photographers here.
Susan?
In an indirect way, yes, because Lisa, I think, cleverly involved the community in these conversations as we were working. So there were forums in which we both showed work that we had just shot in some cases or talked about work previously, and there was an audience with quite a lot of back and forth, but not so much on a one-to-one. I do know some photographers and met with them on a kind of on a one-to-one basis. One of the things we didn't talk about that I think was incredibly important was working with young emerging photographers who ended up, being involved through the design school and the university. Mm. We were pretty active with a couple of classes. Lisa can be specific about that, but I, felt that they were very central to, testing out our ideas and going into different kinds of locations, some of which they had never entered. So it was a real working workshop environment, less with professionals. So some professionals I certainly contacted in relation to newspapers, some of the journalists in my case. I don't know, Lisa, I think that was very important, that collaboration with the local university.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things that I was most excited about with this project, was that UWM and the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design collaborated to form a class called Postcards from America, and their students acted as assistants and research assistants for the photographers who came to town, and they actually made projects of their own, which we were able to show at the museum, which has been really fulfilling. It was a great way for us to get to know the students. The professors there were very involved in reaching out and helping. So the artists associated with the universities and with MIAD were actually quite a great resource for us with this project.
Thank you very much for your call, Claudette. So are you doing other journeys in various parts of the country now, or is that over, Susan?
No, it's not over.
Oh, it's not?
No. Postcards continues, and we probably have another year and a half
before
we do a final, the first really big installation from all the projects from multi years. Which will open at Pier 24 in San Francisco. But we have a number of projects that are going to roll out in the next year and a half.
So you're taking another bus trip?
We're not saying where, but we definitely have plans in smaller groups than the 11 that were. I don't think anything as large as that will happen. It'll be smaller groups that gather.
And you'll be traveling again together ever on this?
Yes, but traveling again, and meaning it might be 2 to 5 photographers together working in one site or another, not as many as we were able to bring together in Milwaukee or Rochester.
Mm-hmm. Do both of you, Lisa, do you have a lot of photos on your work office walls or at home? Do you have photos on
them? Of course.
What are they?
Well, I get to draw from the museum's collection for my office. So currently I actually have a couple of pictures by Jacobo Sobel that weren't, that didn't fit in the exhibition. So I'm able to have them in my office, which is very nice. Mm. You know, at home I like to collect vernacular pictures, so pictures from flea markets and that kind of thing.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Susan, how about you?
Well, I'm looking at a wall in my studio that's a combination of my photographs and photographs other photographers have exchanged with me. It's a kind of assortment. So collecting is really about exchange mostly. I think that's particularly special to be able to choose a photograph that a friend has made and likewise.
Nice. And what about both of you, I'm sure, are very talented artists. What is it about photography? Why did you go that route rather than drawing watercolors or doing something that was a different kind of art?
Well, I'm definitely not a talented artist, which is why I became a curator.
Oh, I'll bet you're better than I am.
I don't know. I think I kind of feel like, as Lisa, I mean, I'm a listener and a looker, and I just think it was a natural medium. I actually worked in sculpture and woodcutting and thought about other mediums, but this one is really the one that kind of I centered on. I think the connectivity, the going out into the world is very akin to my own kind of curiosity and points of engagement. It was just the right match.
Is there a bit of activism about you as well, a large bit of that? Susan?
Sorry?
Activist. Are you an activist?
That's an interesting word. I mean, I think that, you know, the work, I hope, will have a life in a multitude of ways. So I don't, you know, I guess when you see things over a long period of time, you see the ways in which the work works and is useful and can impact people and mobilize them in some cases. And maybe my activism is speaking to issues that are current and what I see important. You know, I mean, how far one goes with the image to defend it. I mean, to make it and then defend it and create the spaces for it to live.
Mm.
I mean, meaning magazines and books and museums.
Right.
Create environments is a kind of activism to make sure that, you know, what I'm seeing has an ongoing life for others to reflect on.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Or maybe act upon, you know.
Uh-huh. And is that hard sometimes? Because some people would see it as too political. Is it hard to, are you given artistic license to be able to do political kinds of pictures?
Well, it depends, I guess, as independent you are and can be. You know, I'm fascinated that there are photographs I've made that have been used by sort of two different sides that perceive the image totally differently.
Yeah.
You know, none of the women that I photograph, for example, in the show that Lisa has, have walked down the streets of Milwaukee with that photograph demanding minimum wage payment rise, you know, pay rise. But, you know, maybe they will one day, you know. Maybe that'll be important to them, and I would be proud if that's what they chose to do.
Oh, that's very interesting, yeah.
You know, it's interesting, one thing Lisa can speak to, the one, you know, somewhat sad we weren't all able to come together and celebrate the opening of the show because she and the community got to see it come together in a way that we didn't. But what I heard, and I did get a photograph from Lisa of one of the women I'd photographed, mm-hmm. photographing herself, or having herself photographed in front of the photograph,
that's really
put
nice.
On Facebook, and that means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That means
I'm sure. Lot, I'm sure know? That means a lot.
That's happened quite a bit with this show, actually, which is really nice.
Yeah, and we're out of time. We just want to get the details of how long the show will be around. Susan, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, sure did enjoy your photos, and I'm interested in seeing more of your work. October 19?
That's right.
Okay.
The exhibition is on view in the Contemporary Galleries, and we also made a series of posters which you may see out about town, and if you see them,
I didn't know that.
Photograph them and put your hashtag postcardsfromamericamke, and we're collecting them on Instagram and Facebook.
Oh, nice.
But you can see the exhibition throughout the city through the posters as well.
Great. Thank you. Thanks so much. It was a really great exhibit. Our thanks to Lisa Sutcliffe from the Milwaukee Art Museum and to photographer Susan Micellus. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing this hour, and to KP as well for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. We'll be with you again tomorrow. Tomorrow at this time, we'll get an inside look at D.C. with the authors of Dog Whistles, Walk Backs, and Washington Handshakes. The authors are calling it the Rosetta Stone needed to unlock the mysteries of American political speech. So that's one of our hours tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Great conversations ahead.